Let me go back up to it. Surviving in the new America. Can we sing the mantra? Yes, we can. No, we can't. I don't think that we're going to survive it. And to prove that we can't survive it, Mark and I are going to have some discussions about some articles here.
Before you go into that, here's Pastor John's email address. Into the word one at ca.rr.com. Into the word one at ca.rr.com.
Because I'd like to hear from you this weekend. I'd like you to email me about this webcast. I want you to give me some solutions to the dilemma here. Snoop Dogg had a solution. He made a video, and that worked for him. Now, you as a Christian, what are the solutions that you have? And please, don't be sending me no scriptures, because no sinner is going to listen to any scripture. They don't look, man, the only Bible that they're looking to see is you. They're not looking to hear you quote no Bible. And for those of you that are Reformed brothers and you want to quote the Reformation creeds and all that stuff, please stop that. Stop that.
They're not going to hear you.
They are not going to hear you in the inner cities. They don't want to hear you talk about some creed of some white European 300 and 400 years ago. Because when you really look at the white Europeans and put them creeds together, they were stabbing each other in the back and the spleen and everything else. So do your theology right. I know what that's all about. And I really appreciate those of you. I'll say, Bev, thank you so much for sending me that article, because she sent me another article on John MacArthur that many of you, I'm not even going to go into it. You wouldn't even believe it. But I believed it because I've heard him say it. And that's an old thing that he says about the blood of Christ. But I'll leave that one alone until we get to that at another time. I mean, man, don't talk to me. Listen to this. California Christians worship in a big way. Let's start with that, because, you know, we like big churches, don't we? This is an article written by Duke Heflin in the LA Times, October the 11th, 2009. Once again, the Sunday faithful have packed the Canaveras Sanctuary at Shepherd of the Hills Church. That's right down the street from where Greg lives.
Chatsworth.
No, yeah, Chatsworth, over there. And in San Fernando Valley, clapping and swaying for Jesus as the band rocks the hall. The band is rocking the hall. Come bless the Lord, the worshipers sing. Praise his name to the ends of the earth. Most churches would be thrilled to fill their sanctuary any day of the year. But Shepherd of the Hills is a non-denominational church in Porter Ranch. Does it 6 times a week, attracting 8,000 people to its energetic services and offering lessons about the growth of evangelical Christianity in California. Thanks to good weather, sprawling suburbs, and a number of charismatic pastors, the Golden State has more megachurches, defines these with at least 2,000 congregants than any other state. California is home to some 193, slightly more than Texas, with 191, according to the more recent survey by the Hartford Institute of Religious Research, one of the nation's leading authorities of megachurches. The majority of the, and listen, please don't listen to me and think that I'm jealous because I pastor in a home church. I wouldn't be a member of a megachurch, because to me, that's so impersonal. I've been there. I've sat in conferences in megachurches, and I've sat next to people in the megachurch that hated me. I knew that they hated me. When they saw me walk in there, they would scoot over about 5 feet. You go to one of them churches and you're the wrong kind of color and stuff like that, they would think that the plague walked in. Don't tell me about them places. And by the way, that was in Grace Community Church when that happened. And if you don't believe me, just ask John Piper, because he sensed it when he went there. But don't nobody, ain't nobody talking about that, but that's all right. The majority of these congregations are in the suburbs of Los Angeles and San Diego, an area that some who study the phenomenon call the Southern California Bible Belt. Well, it's called the Southern California, Southern California Pimpin' Belt. It's not Bible. It's not Bible. A handful have risen to national prominence. Notably, Saddleback Church in Lake Forest has a celebrity pastor called Rick Warren. See, prominent. Whenever you see a prominent church and a prominent pastor, you know Jesus is not there. I just want to tell you, Jesus was not prominent. Jesus was not popular. But it says, but dozens, and I got to get my light right. I guess I must be getting old. Dozens of other large, if lesser known, churches also are growing, even as many traditional houses of worship struggle to fill in their pews. Now, see, why do you think they're struggling to fill them in? Because both are doing two different things. The traditional church, I'm not struggling to fill nothing. I believe in closing churches down. I believe in, if you got a room that seats 150 people and you can't get 20 people to show up, sell that sucker, split up the money to all the people that gave over the years, and stay home and have Bible study in your homes. That's what I say. Get a job and get a life. I believe in pastors, biblical pastors, but only if they're going to teach exposition and preach expositionally. If they are going to dedicate a certain part of their lives to help people know what the Bible says, why it says it, when it said it, where it said it, and how it said it. Not getting up there waving their arms, talking about God spoke to me in a vision last night. You've eaten too many Cracker Jacks before you went to bed the night before and you tripping. The article goes on and said that these mega churches are expanding by adapting to changing times and tastes, scholars say. Now, you know what that means? Compromise. See, they're compromising, Mark. In order to get those sinners, those debauched individuals to sit in those pews, they've got to change the message.
He changed the room into this generic big room with a lot of pumping music.
Let's get the crosses out of there, take the pictures of a bleeding side out of there, take the big Hammond organ out and bring in a praise band with the drums and the guitars.
Put up a bunch of big screens.
There you go. Let the pastor come out looking like he just got back from a Hawaiian vacation. And let his wife come out just grinning and smiling like Mrs. Osteen, Joel's better half, I guess you can call it. Many have jettisoned formal rituals such as organs and the hymns in favor of Christian rock music and overhead projection screens, like Mark just said, that display lyrics and prayers. Because you see, the lyric is on the screen and the prayer showing up ain't coming from your heart.
And so you the got Bible to verses... which does not encourage you to bring your own Bible and study it, because the verses will be up there and it'll be the watered down version of the verse.
Too. Yes, of course. It got to be the watered down
version.
It
won't say you're going to hell.
They deliver upbeat biblical messages about applying faith to everyday life and building a personal relationship with God. Well, they ought to say with Jesus, because you see, God, you know, that can be a generic term. The God of who? The God of the Muslims? Are you talking about the Christian God? Are you talking about the Buddhist God? Which God are you talking about? Are you talking about Elohim, Jehovah? Come on, cut me some slack. Don't play with me like that. They organize parishioners into small life groups that study scriptures. Now, you got to be careful of small groups. I'm in a small group, but we're not doing it as a socialist communist group would. They do it that way, and so that they can, listen, when they break you up into the small group, the so-called shepherds of the hills tell those small group leaders what to teach those people, instead of saying, open your Bible and take the biblical education that you've been trained with by this ministry, because we believe in Bible alone, and teach them the truth. That's why when you go to my YouTube clips, you won't see them preaching the way I preach. It would empty a church. They encourage your fellowship to recruit new members. I don't encourage anybody to recruit anybody to bring them to my house to study the Bible, because you can't do that. Now, we're going to go to our first scripture tonight, because you think I'm wrong, right? You need to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I got to train you as I teach you, because you don't know your Bible. You are stupid. You can get mad at me all you want to. I don't care anymore. I want to read the verse. It says, and I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. These people that you're recruiting, they can't understand God's word. Then it says he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, they're spiritually warped. They're depraved. So all these megachurches, they bring them in. That's, and so the so-called pastors on staff and the staff people can get these people's money, and they're making an easy living off of you suckers that sponsored this insane asylum called church, which has become nothing but a big business. I got a proposition for you. Shut down all the business ventures in the building and just preach the gospel. stop selling everything. Would the ministry last for more than a month?
No.
Probably not. Stop selling anything and stop trying to, and then let somebody like me come in and preach every Sunday. See how many people are going to show up. The article goes on and says, although the some cities refer to the mega churches phenomenon as church light, L-I-T-E, evangelical Christian scholars say that the congregations are reaching the unaffiliated or disaffected by turning church attendance into a more comfortable, positive experience bound by fewer rules or obligations than traditional churches. In other words, let them come in. They can be fornicating. They can be selling dope.
It's comfortable for sinners.
It's just comfortable for sinners.
For the lost.
In other words, you got to tone down this gospel stuff because people don't want to hear that they're going to hell. Man, I'd love to be in there. And I say, well, it's good to see this room filled up with 5,000 people. Look at this. Every balcony seat is taken. Amen. Let the church say amen. 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 And look at this. We even have all the rich people in the first row. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. Well, my subject to sermon today is go to hell. You heathens ain't saved. Piled up in here. Go to hell. They would get up and start walking out right then.
They'd go out front and get a coffee from Subway while you're preaching.
Oh, yes, they would. Yes, they would. They want to reach people, this article said, with the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, Christ wouldn't even know what kind of a message that is. And don't get it twisted. The ones that are teaching exposition and expository preaching, look, don't be fooled by the message that you hear. What's behind the message? Is it madness? Is it big business?
It's comfortable.
Yes, it's comfortable.
It's pleasing to certain people's ears.
My goodness. And then it says, with the life-changing news about Jesus Christ, said Warren Bird, research director of the Dallas-based Leadership Network, a nonprofit that disseminates information about innovative church practices. Southern California's sprawling suburban housing tracts have provided ready supplies of potential new members, including Geraldine Victoria, who was raised Catholic, but decided to visit Shepherd of the Hills on a recent Sunday at a friend's invitation. Let me tell you something. Why you think God is sending these fires here in Southern California, wiping out these sprawling hillside communities? Let me share something with you that are not familiar with Southern California. Me and Mark don't live in those sprawling hills.
No.
We don't live in that.
No.
Because if we lived out there, we'd be fighting flames too. We live in a city. Mark lives in the city of, what is it, Pasadena or Altadena?
Pasadena.
Pasadena. And I live in the city of Los Angeles. Pasadena is when you look at the Rose Bowl. When you see all that, that's where Mark lives. And look at Watts, you know where I am. We ain't living in no sprawling nothing. And folk are struggling trying to survive. But all these new homes, see, that's why they built those big churches out there, because everybody bought them homes with them jive time mortgages. They thought that their life was going good. Now the people are losing their homes, losing everything. Let me keep reading. 32-year-old Glendale Nurse said that she was attracted to the spontaneity of the worship service, a departure of what she called the formality of Catholicism. I think I want more, she says, Victoria said as she emerged from the sanctuary. She wants more. More what? More rock band? More TV screens. I don't know what they were telling her in the Catholic Church, but man, if they're rocking you into oblivion, well, and wait a minute, let me get on the black church, because you can go down the street from where I live on Crenshaw to, I call it Chuck Berry's church. I'm talking about West Angeles. You can go down there and they got a jamming choir with Stevie Wonder singing maybe once a month down there, and folks just coming in to see the moving stars like Magic Johnson, Denzel Washington's family goes there, Angela Bassett, all these kind of people going in there. I call that the Hokey Pokey Movie Star Church. Man, there is no God there, none. Shepherd of the Hills is rapidly growing, and its home is on the foot of Santa Susana Mountains in the northwestern part of San Fernando Valley. Its gym doubles into a second sanctuary, and the church leaders have plans for a 3,500-seat auditorium. It also opened a satellite church campus in Agua Dulce, Lancaster, Woodland Hills, Westside, Fremont, and San Jose. See, they got these satellite churches because they're raking up all the ignoramuses out there too. Bring in all the sinners. And you know what? When you look at this and you look at the way they're doing it, if you look at the way they're doing it, it moves away from traditional biblical Christianity. Because when you look at the first century Christians, they were running from pillar to post. They were being knocked in the head, killed, raped, bludgeoned, and ran out of town.
I don't recall any of the scriptures where Paul says, well, before I teach, let's have about five songs, and then I'll start preaching. I don't recall any of that stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the number of mega churches has grown steadily for the past four decades. Research has said that it is now at least 1,350 such churches nationwide, more than double that a decade ago. They draw an average of 4,100 weekend parishioners. By contrast, most U.S. churches attract 500 people fewer on Sundays. They are essentially recreating a small town milieu and giving folks a place, this is a quote, to plug in and share experiences with like-minded people. I don't want to plug in and share no experience with them damnable heathens.
Don't forget that these places are built with a giant stage so that you can fit a band, and then you can have a play so that the actors come out and do a play, and then the MC comes out and talks a little bit more, then they sing. So it's the traditional part about where the pastor and the podium, and then the focus is on him. No, it's a big, wide stage, a lot of steps to go up. It's built on a theater. I got a good versus being built for a pastor and the focus to be on the spoken word.
I got a great illustration for him. It's Jay Leno's new TV program, Jesus in Drag. That's what that is. That's all that is. When you look at Jay Leno on NBC, on his hour program that comes on NBC, that's what these churches look like. Lights, camera, action. Clapping, happiness, cheers, and all that kind of stuff. That is not worship. That is not worship, people. And whenever you do a church like that, that is not worship.
They just said it's a place to plug in.
Yeah, they're trying to plug in. See, it says, but the growth also has sparked criticism that large churches are siphoning people away from smaller congregations. I don't care. Take them. Take the sinners away from me. If you can get them all in one place. See, because the great deception of Satan is to get you there to make you think that you are worshiping God and you're not worshiping God. Trust me, what I'm running looks like I'm a fool and I'm out of my mind. That's why we do these webcasts, and I wish that I can do one every day for you. But it's just that as a pastor now, I have to work, and I got a stack of papers I got to grade. I got to work on my philosophy formats. I got secular work to do because I have to work to survive. Now, but if I did have a congregation to locally take care of my life, they would be the baddest biblical congregation, and we would not go into that. It says a 25-year-old bank teller said that the formalities of her former church, including the robed clergy, hymnals, organ, and repetitive liturgy, left her uninspired.
I want something new and exciting. I want a quartet singing a cappella. And then I want the flag team to come up and do an interpretive dance with flags based on something from the Bible.
I got some good reading for you guys to do. You need to go to Dean Gocher's website. I'm going to try to go to it now as I go to my website because I want to show you an article. I was reading an article that Dean was working on. You go to my website, my major website, not the YouTube clip site, and I'm going to it right now since I got more than one computer on, and you scroll down on the front page of johnecoleman.org. I guess it's still loading up here, taking a while to load up, but I want you to scroll down to the bottom of that front page. I'm doing that right now, and when you do that, you're going to see something that says Institution for Authority Research. Once you tap into that, it's going to come up the Institution of Authority Research. This is my very dear friend Dean Gocher's website. And as you scroll down, you will see certain articles that he has on the Dioprox and how this has worked. And he has a wonderful article. Oh, here it is. Church. It's called Church Leadership Doing Dioprox. And once you go into there, that page pops up and you need to read that. He starts off with the scriptures. And I love Dean for that because he uses scriptures. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And so marvel. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no great thing that his ministers, that is Satan's ministers, also are transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. See, this woman said that she didn't want no robes, no hymnals, or all that. They were taking away the authority of God and replacing it with the authority of this silly, unsaved woman who's walking into the sanctuary. I would be embarrassed to make a statement like that. You just denied the authority of biblical Christianity and the authority of God. If you were in a Muslim country, they'd cut your head off. But we don't do that here. Mark, what's that address so they can write me? Because I want to hear from these people.
Into the word one at ca.rr.com. Into the word one at ca.rr.com.
Here's another scripture that Dean has. It says, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying in Mark 8:33, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of God, but that is of men. And that's what the church has fallen into. They aren't speaking God's things. That's why I sound so abnormal. I won't get a chance to read this because we're already, Mark, 43 minutes into the program. And that's just one article. And I got so many other articles to handle here. I love it. Now, what have we done in our society today? I want to read this. Mark sent this to me. This came from the New York Post. It was dated October the 12th of this year, 2009. 15-year-old arrested 14 times. He was eyed in more than 25 more burglaries. This article is by Larry Colina and Joe Mullica. Now, the reason that I'm reading this is because we adults have lost control of our children. Completely. I teach college students. Love those kids. They are, you guys don't know, I get so emotional about it because it's like those kids are my kids. And I wouldn't do anything to lie to them, to harm them in any way. I'm like a fatherly figure in the classroom because I know why this 14-year-old boy had these problems. A baby-faced 15-year-old burglar